From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of Faith Free Presbyterian Church, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
We're delighted that you have joined us for today's broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Today, Dr. Cairns continues to deal with the ninth commandment, Thou shalt not bear false witness. Here, God is concerned with the preservation and promotion of truth. In addition to forbidding lying among individuals or in the church, the commandment warns against lying about God, as in the case of false prophets. Further, as Dr. Cairns will show, the ninth commandment forbids lying to God. As many have found to their loss, it is a dangerous thing to make empty promises to God. We'll hear from Dr. Cairns in just a few minutes. Before he comes, please listen to this devotional selection taken from Charles Haddon Spurgeon's Faith's Checkbook. Our devotional for today is entitled, Blessing on Littleness. The text is Psalm 115, verse 13. He will bless them that fear the Lord, both small and great. This is a word of cheer to those who are of humble station and mean estate. Our God has a very gracious consideration for those of small property, small talent, small influence, small weight. God careth for the small things in creation, and even regards sparrows in their lighting upon the ground. Nothing is small to God, for He makes use of insignificant agents for the accomplishment of His purposes. Let the least among men seek of God a blessing upon his littleness, and he shall find his contracted sphere to be a happy one. Among those who fear the Lord there are little and great. Some are babes, and others are giants. But these are all blessed. Little faith is blessed faith. Trembling hope is blessed hope. Every grace of the Holy Spirit, even though it be only in the bud, bears a blessing within it. Moreover, the Lord Jesus bought both the small and the great with the same precious blood, and he has engaged to preserve the lambs as well as the full-grown sheep. No mother overlooks her child because it is little. Nay, the smaller it is, the more tenderly does she nurse it. If there be any preference with the Lord, he does not arrange them as great and small, but as small and great.
Please.
You're listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We're delighted that you've tuned in today, and we're especially grateful for those of you who make this program a regular part of your day. We've been particularly encouraged by the response to the program content and the format. So if you have written to say that the Lord has blessed you, or to ask for some of the literature that we offer, then take our thanks for taking time to do so. And if you haven't yet done so, we would be delighted to hear from you. You may contact us by email, by telephone, or by regular postal mail. You may write us at Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. You may email us at ltbs@freepres.org. That's ltbs@freepres.org. Or you may telephone us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. As you can see, it's easy to contact us. Also, if you enjoy the program, you might like to join us on our website, Let the Bible Speak Radio, or ltbsradio.com. Don't forget that word radio, ltbsradio.com. We hope to hear from you, and that you'll join us on our website this week.
of the worst forms of false witness noted in Scripture is false prophecy. This is a prime example of breaking the ninth commandment. Deuteronomy 13 tells us there are two ways to judge a false prophet, to find him out. First of all, if their prophecies fail, then they're false. For God is not a liar. It's the first thing. But then he says, no matter whether their prophecies come to pass, or no matter how many miraculous signs and wonders they do, if they lead you away from God and from His Word, they are false prophets. We often quote, and I'll quote it again, the word of Isaiah 8 verse 20. And in our churches, we must, and especially in these last days when we're being bombarded with false prophecy, we must stick to this. We must rigidly stick to it, to the law and to the testimony. If they speak not according to this word, it is because there is no light in them. And I tell you, it doesn't matter how many miracles they say they do. If they come raising people from the dead under your very nose, if they don't speak according to God's word, there is no light in them. That's the standard. We need to attend to it today, because as I've said, we're living in a day of many false prophets. There are movements which say they are end time restorationist movements. The restoration of the supernatural gifts of the early church they claim for today. The restoration of the gift of prophecy. In fact, we are told by many that there now has begun to arise a race of super prophets. We have the Kansas City prophets. We have a man by the name of Paul Keen, supposed to be a great prophet. There's one, the university will be glad of this, who's had to be disciplined for great immorality, wickedness, and all the rest of it. His name is Bob Jones. When you see the name of Bob Jones in this connection, you'll know we're not talking about either of the Dr. Bobs. But this Bob Jones, such a wonderful prophet, and even though he's had to be disciplined for a host of sins, including great immorality and manipulation, we are told this has not in any way lessened his prophetic gift. Outlandish claims and hoaxes. You've heard of the Toronto Blessing. Some of the leaders of that movement, John Arnott and his wife. John Arnott claimed to have an interview with the Lord Jesus Christ himself. And he comes back as a prophet. And he tells us, he's speaking to the glorified Christ. And he says to Christ, "What would you like to do when we meet?" Can you imagine? I want to tell you, as soon as somebody says that, I know he's a liar. He's an absolute liar. When John the Apostle got the vision of the glorified Christ, he fell at his feet as a man dead. And yet this imposter says, "I asked Jesus, what do you want to do when we meet?" And he quotes Jesus, "Oh, John, I just want to wash your feet." I want to tell you, the days of Christ washing feet are over. He's in His glory. And in heaven, the days of our needing to have feet washed are also over. His wife went even further. And she reported her conversation with the Holy Ghost, who lamented to her that he felt so lonely here on earth. So lonely for Jesus. Others have prophesied the date of the second coming. Of course, that has been going on for years and even centuries. They were caught up to heaven. They met Jesus, and he told them when he was coming back. The last one I heard saying that, I heard him give us testimony, so-called testimony about going into the very presence of Christ and all that Christ told him. Remember one sober gentleman, I would take him to be a sober gentleman, he came to me completely blown away by this. Did you see this? Did you hear this? What a wonder. I said, he's a liar. And if you just wait before 1996 is out, you will have the proof that he's a liar. Because Jesus Christ will not come back on the date that that liar has said he will. And of course, he didn't. Benny Hinn. Benedictus Hinn. He has prophesied that there will not be one sick saint left on the earth when Jesus comes. No one will be raptured, he says, out of a wheelchair. No one will be raptured out of a hospital bed. You're all going to be healed before the rapture. And yet the same bunch of liars stand up before their people and they want to assure them that Jesus could come tonight. The Lord help the poor saints who are in sick beds. False prophets abounding on every hand. You know, sometimes I think it would be good just to get back to the old Reformation standard. In fact, the old apostolic standard set in Galatians chapter 1, verses 8 and 9. Paul said, here's the gospel. If anybody preaches anything else, let him be anathema, let him be damned, let him be cursed of God. What is that standard? It's the doctrine, the gospel of justification by the imputation of the righteousness of Jesus Christ received by faith alone. Few of these prophets, so-called, have even a basic understanding of the doctrine of justification, and fewer still ever preach it. And again, let me tell you, I don't care what their so-called miracles are. And by the way, their miracles are mostly hoaxes. Don't be fooled by a charismatic miracle. And never believe a charismatic report, because when you get other reports of the same occasion, you will discover what I've discovered, that unless you have independent testimony, you couldn't believe that they could objectively tell you the date, the time, or the day. Never mind these wondrous happenings that they say occur. Lying in God's name is a sin of great magnitude. But lying to God is also condemned by the ninth commandment. What about unfulfilled vows? What about the vows that people have taken solemnly before God, and they are right and just and biblical vows, but they've just been forgotten or neglected? What are they? Ecclesiastes 5 verse 2 says, be not rash with thy mouth, and let not thine heart be hasty to utter anything before God, for God is in heaven and thou upon earth, therefore let thy words be few. And verses 4 and 5 go on to say, when thou vowest a vow unto God, defer not to pay it, for he hath no pleasure in fools. Pay that which thou hast vowed. Better is it that thou shouldst not vow than that thou shouldst vow and not pay. The psalmist said in Psalm 116, verse 14, I will pay my vows now unto the Lord in the presence of all his people. This is very especially true of one particular class of people. It's obvious that Christians should pay their vows. But there are unsaved people who have got into trouble, or perhaps they've been very sick, or whatever, and they have made a promise to God, and then they go back on their word. That's a very, very, very dangerous thing to do. I remember reminding a man of this, and he didn't like it very well at all. I reminded him of this. I stood by your bedside when no doctor in the country would give 2 pence for your life. And you vowed to God, if God would heal you, you would serve him. And God raised you from that bed and answered a prayer. And today you still have not fulfilled your vow. Mr. Moody tells the story of a young man in his meetings in exactly that position. He couldn't serve Christ where he worked. He was always putting it off. Moody would plead with him, but he wouldn't budge, he wouldn't come. Late one night, the preacher got a call to go to his home, where according to his physicians, he was dying. And again pleaded with him to be saved, and the young man could not come. But he said, if God will raise me from this sick bed, then I will receive Christ and I will serve him. How foolish people are to try to make bargains with God even on their deathbed. But God in his mercy raised him. But he still didn't come to Christ. The preacher pleaded with him, and he still didn't come to Christ. Some months later, Mr. Moody got another call. Late in the night, he went to that same home, up to that same room, and bent over that same bed. This time, it was the death angel. There was not a word, not a hope, not a ray of light. That young man went out into God's eternity. The only thing he could say, and they heard it whispered to the end, the harvest is past, the summer is ended, I am not saved. The Lord Jesus in Matthew 21 warns about lying to God in the parable of the man who had 2 sons. And he said, son, go work today in my vineyard. One said, no, I will not, but he repented. There's the picture of the sinner, the harlot, as the Lord Jesus talks about it, the harlot and the publican who rebelled against God but repented and went. But the other said, I go, but he went not. He went not. I fear that in our congregation and in our families, we raise young people who hear the gospel week after week and year after year, and when the Lord comes to them and touches them about their soul's need, they say, yes, I will be saved. I'm going to come. I am tempted to come. I promise God I'll come. But year goes after year and they don't come. Perhaps that's where you stand tonight. God indicts you with a terrible lie. It is time to seek the Lord. It is time to come to Christ.
been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope that you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of God, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, A New Beginning, a booklet that sets forth God's way of salvation in clear, concise, and biblical ways, you may have it free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-LTBS. That's 1-866-877-5827. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Also, we invite you to visit our website at www.faithfpc.org. If you would be interested in considering the establishment of a Free Presbyterian Church in your area, by all means, let us know. Once again, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-5827. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us Monday through Friday at this same time as we Let the Bible Speak.